Welcome to System Mastery, the podcast that's critically acclaimed or whatever. On today's episode, we discuss the fearsome kobold in all its tiny and toothy glory, because we needed a short book for secret reasons. It's Kobold's Ate My Baby, second edition deluxe or something, I think. Today, for the first time, only, live in concert in 9 years, it's Pavement! Wait, no, it's System Mastery.
Wouldn't you know it? It's System Mastery.
Oh, just because I had to turn around to get to the recording. You're stealing my only job.
Yeah, basically.
Ooh.
I saw you turn around and I was like, it's my chance to do a hip-hop dance.
And sadly, you aren't doing one. You're not doing the mashed potato or a cabbage patch or nothing.
Not nothing.
You aren't even doing the fishing from the end of Wayne's World.
The fishing.
That's the name of that dance move, right? The fishing?
The fishing.
They had to say the or it doesn't count.
Yeah, of course, obviously.
Obviously, obviously. So, this is System Mastery. I'm Jeff, that's John. He didn't do the intro, because he's a rank amateur at doing this correctly and didn't do it right, so.
Yeah, but says the guy who just had to restart the recording, because he fucked it up.
I only fucked it up a little, and I only fucked it up because I am the MC, or master of ceremonies, if you will, for so many different podcasts, where last I checked, you're still just the guy in charge of one.
And I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Although I keep hearing tell that you want to add a bonus content, which
I want to.
I assume you're going to make me in charge of, because obviously I'm so good at it.
Oh, obviously. I get
everything in two takes.
That's what they call me,
Two Take Joe.
I don't know why they call you Two Take Joe.
I'm going to need another take on that.
Jokes.
Bits. That should have come with like a rim shot or a na 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 na, and then someone got like slimed or something.
Yeah.
So we're going to be discussing a book today called Kobolds Ate My Baby, Who's Fodder Now, Super Deluxe Edition, with two X's instead of an E at the end, the Beer and Pretzels Role-Playing Game, All Hail King Torg.
Yep, we certainly are.
Mm-hmm. I might as well let some people in on kind of like the background workings of what happens here at System Mastery. If you're curious as to how the donuts are made, here we go.
If you really want to get in there and look at the sausage.
Yeah, if you want to see that sausage as it's being turned into donuts, because that's what they do.
That's what we do.
That's how they get you. They flash fry that sausage until it's a donut.
And you can, too, with our new book.
Yeah, that's not what I was going to talk about, but sure. Sometimes here at System Mastery, one of us is in the hospital or has to have a baby or
has other things going on.
It's always me, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always you that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's funny because you're in way.
It's funny because you're so old.
I'm like 3 years older than you.
I mean, you're basically looking at you. It's like watching the guy who drank from the wrong grail.
You can barely walk.
I can see your hair grow and gray.
The only difference between the two of us is that I have kind of a punctuated equilibrium on my spiral into oblivion. Well, you seem to be walking down the handicapped ramp to your own demise. You're like the Carlos Santana of self-destruction.
I'm so smooth.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess that'd make you more like the Rob Thomas and Carlos Santana of self-destruction. Yeah.
I'm more the Rob Thomas featuring Carlos Santana of self-destruction.
So that's the only difference, is that when I go bad hard, and then I'm okay for a while. You just slowly get worse. It's the story of the tortoise and the hare and the hating themselves.
Yep. So slow and steady self-destruction wins the race to oblivion.
Oh, man. So anyway, every once in a while, we need an emergency book. We have a couple of them. We're actually starting to run low. I think we only have like one or two, maybe probably just one left, which when we're super busy with something or one of us is completely unavailable or unavoidable life circumstances happen, we reach for emergency books, which are books that are little.
Yeah. And this has been on the shelves for a while. And it's finally time to break that glass for emergency.
Yeah, this was we have a a secret project that we've been working on.
Secret project.
For like the past 2 months, and it's gotten really intense as we've had other things that have also happened inside of the past 2 months. For example, the show D&D Descent Live that we did, we're still working on getting the audio posted for that if you want to listen to us be like weirdly normal for like 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Like actually play along with a regular game and not disrupt it in any way.
I know. Well, we only had 90 minutes.
I know. We were building to something. If we had gone for 3 hours, oh boy.
Ooh, baby. Let me tell you.
It was coming. You could probably see the beginnings.
Oh, so was my character.
Ha ha! Thizzleton Twizzlestee or whatever his name was.
Willoughby Twizzleton.
Whizzleton Snizzleby.
Hey, now, I'm not Harbleblah de Booty Bay or whatever.
Yeah, no, none of us are James. James's character had a name that was in... It was Harbleblub de Booty Ba.
Yeah. A terrible name for a big dumb idiot to use at the circus.
Yeah, but he... Oh, no! But he had some very fancy leather armor on.
Oh, yeah. He looked amazing.
He looked fantastic, but his character was sort of a pirate gnome with
a pirate with an unpronounceable name.
It's the martial art that no one can pronounce. So, we've been really busy, and that involved us going out to L.A. and schmoozing with Hollywood types.
Not really, though.
No, of course not, because everything that we actually do involves us going to a place and then just lazing around in this case, the Airbnb the whole time.
Well, I mean, also in this case, we did go to a hot dog joint instead of doing stuff.
That's true. That was a really good hot dog place, though. Dirt Dog, was it?
Yeah, Dirt Dog in L.A. is...
That's some chef's kiss. That was phenomenal. Anyway, every once in a while, we find ourselves in dire need. We have to take the little hammer on the chain, break the glass, and grab a book that's like under 100 pages.
And Kobolds Ate My Baby is that book.
Uh-huh. It's one of our last ones. I'm kind of worried that I think the other one we have is Snarf Quest D20, so we're really kind of starting to hurt for... Basically, if you own any books that are sub-50 pages, we need them. Give them to us.
So the entire idea behind Kobolds Ate My Baby is supposed to be an RPG that's a goof-em-up fun time full of wacky shenanigans for you and your friends to drink beer and eat pretzels while you play.
Yeah, it's one of those role-playing games where you're not supposed to take it especially seriously, and it's supposed to just be sort of a hijinks-type game. Kind of like your paranoia, but a little more. Paranoia on zap mode.
It's basically just like, oh, you're going to die eventually, and that's part of the game. It's great. Don't worry about it.
And by eventually, we mean immediately, and it's going to be super fun.
The whole idea behind the game, let me just say right off the bat, anytime something says it is a beer and pretzels anything,
mm-hmm.
I'm immediately like, no.
You know, we have a game on our website that we made ourselves called Beer and Pretzels, right?
Yeah, and it is because people were like, oh, I want 40K, but like a beer and pretzels game. I'm like, every game is a beer and pretzels game.
If you play it while there's beer and pretzels available, it becomes a beer and pretzels game. The only difference is that our game literally is played with beer and pretzels as the pieces.
And the idea that they were like, oh, yeah, unlike other games, you'll have alcohol and snacks with this. And I'm like, have you ever played an RPG?
Those are like essential. The only reason you wouldn't have alcohol with an RPG is if you are forced to play it in a game store that won't let you have some brew.
Or if you're, you know, like 14 and you're just having like a little tower of Coke that you are making in front of you.
That's true.
And then you slam your face down in that tower of Coke and then you're ready to take on the mob.
If you're still at the age where you're making Mountain Dew jokes for your game, then...
Yeah, if you're at an age where you're still relying on, like, your mom to get you snacks,
mm-hmm.
then yeah.
Oh, that's a problem. You can't trust your mom for snacks. What if she buys, like, dried seaweed or something?
Oh, no. I can trust my mom for snacks.
Oh, you can? That's good. That's good. Plenty of ranch dressing.
Yep. That was it. A 12er of Coke and ranch dressing. All you ever needed for a young budding RPG player.
I mean, I assume seeing as how your primary meal at the time was a marshmallow served on a tiny silver tray, the kind that has one of those liftable silver domes atop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That you probably needed just a dip or something to kind of make it extra fancy.
Some kind of dip.
That's
obviously the fanciest dip you can have is a ranch dressing.
Ranch is famously the fanciest of dips.
It's true.
Yeah. It's a definitive. And a marshmallow dipped in ranch...
The highest level of all.
The holiest of holies. It's the very heights. I don't know how you talk to an angel unless you happen to have a marshmallow dipped in ranch.
And that's how you do it.
That's how you do it. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. What kind of snacks were your gaming kid snacks then?
Oh,
if you were so good.
Just your standard array of like chips. You get your Doritos. You get your sour cream and onion Ruffles.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. But then, of course... You know, you've got to get pizza, you got to get, you know...
That pizza that we apparently both have the shared cultural memory that isn't correct, that we would get the Bigfoot pizza from Little Caesars, and then everyone in the world told us that was a Round Table thing, or no, sorry, a
Pizza Hut
Pizza Hut thing, or... it's killing me.
It's destroyed my brain.
That's why Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Because I grew up right and proper and knew that was the fucking Berenstain Bears, and when a bunch of people were like, oh, I just thought it was the Jewish name because I don't read very well, I was like, oh, you're all idiots. It's not because you're from another universe. It's because you just assumed and read the middle of the word. Didn't meet the middle of the word.
Yeah, but now you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I do. I know the pain everyone else experiences because of the Little Caesars Bigfoot pizza.
Ugh, so angry about that. Anyway.
Sorry.
So, yeah, this is another one of those RPGs that is trying to be very jokey within the text and not just the premise.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a lot of like little running jokes throughout. One of the rules in the book is anytime anyone says Torg,
all hail King Torg,
you have to say all hail King Torg, which I feel like at that point, don't you go into an infinite loop? Because it's Torg
at
the end of
Torg.
It. You're like, all hail King Torg, all hail King Torg, all hail King Torg. Oh, God.
I think you're allowed to say it after all hail King Torg, you're allowed to stop for a little while. But yeah, it's one of those call and response type games where in addition to playing a role-playing game, you're also playing Simon Says.
Yeah.
And if you don't catch when people say stuff or you don't use the spell descriptor correctly, then your character suffers a horrible death. Sort of.
Well, you get closer to doing it. So
yeah.
The game uses a, like... Kobold horrible death check with a QU in it. And what it is every time you get one of those, you roll two dice, 2d6, and if you get above a 13, then you roll on the death table. So the first check that you get can't kill you.
Yes.
You can always get at least one, but after the first one, you get increasingly more likely to die.
Yeah, I think it's the first two, actually, because the first roll puts you up as far as a 12. Oh, no,
13.
You're right. Yeah, it puts
That's
you as far
how
as a 13.
Two dice work.
That's how, yep, it sure is. I for some reason, I was imagining a situation where you'd have to roll when you didn't have any death checks yet.
No.
Yeah, and that's impossible.
Because you only roll when you get them or lose them.
Okay, there you go. If you have a situation where you're at one death check and you lose it, you have to roll on zero death checks, and it's impossible. So I'm fine. I'm vindicated in the eyes of Kobolds Ate My Baby.
I really thought you were going to say in the eyes of Torg.
In the eyes of all hail King Torg.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I did it. I did the thing.
You did the
also
thing.
Also, the mighty god Vor.
Who is the god of anger and kobolds. He used to just be the god of kobolds, but have you seen kobolds?
Oh.
No, he's so angry.
You'd be angry, too. I don't want to make fun of the jokes in this. This one's... I mean, some of them are pretty bad, it's true, but ultimately I like the spirit of this game more than some of the other comedy games we've come across.
I'll be honest, the only reason I like it more than some of the other comedy games is not the jokes that it has in the book.
Is the brevity?
The premise.
Yeah. Oh, the premise, yeah, all right.
No, the premise of the book of just, what are you doing? You're all being ridiculous little kobolds, and you run around, and you're just sort of an idiot, and then you die eventually, and I'm like, that's fine.
Yeah. So... Kobolds Ate My Baby is run on what the designers call the beer engine. And then there's also pretzels. Pretzels are things that are inconsequential to the gameplay experience or something. I think that there's some joke they make in there about how pretzels are the thing you do to make you thirsty so you want beer. So pretzels aren't important. They're just a thing you kind of have to have on the side.
Meh.
I don't know, man. Maybe that's just because I'm an old fat dude, but pretzels are fucking delicious.
I've never been huge into the regular bagged pretzels.
Really?
You give me a soft pretzel, fine.
Hmm?
Pretty much any hard pretzel, I'm not into.
Pretzel is my number two go-to if I have some hummus. It's carrot, pretzel, anything else.
Nah, man. I mean, pita, pretzel. I'll take even broccoli. I'll put turkey in there.
Everything's good with some hummus. I'm not shooting down the concept of hummus. I'm just saying pretzels are really high on my list. The bagged pretzel. But yeah, so the beer engine mostly just describes the stats, because your character starts with four stats, which you roll 2d6 to generate. And each one of them starts with a letter from beer. So you have brawn, ego, extraneous, and rapidity. I don't know. It's the agility one, but I don't remember what it stands for.
Good. It is
runliness. Reflexes.
Reflexes. There you go. It's the reflex.
It's runliness.
Flex, 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 flex.
So each one of these is rolled on a 2d6. And so at this point, we can go ahead and tell you how the basics of the game system work. It's a targeted difficulty roll under game.
Mm-hmm.
Your stats are often the target difficulty. So, for example, when you roll a brawn, if you roll like an 8, 8 becomes the targeted difficulty to do a brawn basic check.
Yeah, so whatever your stat happens to be, if you are using a skill based on that,
that's the
you
target.
Will have a number of dice to get under it.
Yes, and that number of dice is the difficulty of the task, with the target being... So, for example, let's say you want your kobold to lift a heavy rock. You have to roll the difficulty that the rock is, like the weight of the rock. So that makes, it's a difficulty 2 rock to lift. Then you roll 2 dice and you have to roll under the target difficulty, which in this case is just your brawn. You have to roll a 10 or less on 2d6.
If your brawn is 10. Which, wow, good job.
Good job, man.
On 2d6.
Yeah,
get brawn.
Yeah, you got a good brawn. That's good for you. And then there's a lot of things that can move the number of dice you have to roll up or down by 1 or 2.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically just like, hey, if something seems like it would be pretty easy, make it easier. If it seems like it would be hard, make it harder. But the weird thing is, it was like, oh, yeah, if you're trying to throw a stone at like a gnat that's on speed, then it'll be more dice to the difficulty. I'm like, yeah, but wouldn't that just make your base difficulty high? Like...
Well, no, because you'd be like, all right, so to throw a rock, it's a target, is like a 2 difficulty, right? So you get to roll 2 dice against your whatever your reflexes, probably.
Well, no, but there is no set, like, difficulty for certain actions.
Oh, no, you're right, you're right. They give you this +2, -2 thing, but basically it's all arbitrary what the difficulties are anyway. So when they're like, all right, you have to throw something at someone, there's no arbitrary standard for you have to roll 2 dice or whatever it is. So when they're like, oh, you might want to add 2 more dice if it's a fast fly or something that you have to hit, and it's like, no, that just sets the base difficulty.
Yeah, that just means I would go, oh, that's really hard to do. I guess you're rolling 5 dice.
It's just a language discrepancy. It doesn't really matter.
No, but, I mean, for a game that is supposed to be very light, the idea that they were like, oh, it's a game, we should put in modifiers for some reason, even though that's not a thing that exists in this.
They have modifiers. They're like, oh, generally speaking, to hit, say, for example, a slow-moving barn would be you'd only have to roll 1 die.
Great.
Notably, a non-moving barn is listed as the 0 die target. We don't have to roll at all.
You just get to do it.
Yeah. So, you get your 6 stats. Four stats, and then you get 6 more stats.
And then you get 5 more stats.
Actually, you do get 5 more stats.
Yeah.
And those are hits, meat, luck is one of them.
So basically, you get your hit points, and then each stat has a derived stat that you get, which is going to fluctuate certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So... you have your hit points is just your brawn,
mm-hmm.
But then meat is derived from brawn. There's a chart that's like, if you have a 1 to 4, you have 1 meat. If you've got a 5 to 7, it's 2, and so on.
And it's called the handy chart, and all of the stats just use the same chart.
Yeah. So whatever that is will often either like... add to a difficulty for something or become the target number for doing certain things. Like your extraneous stat gives you luck.
Mm-hmm.
So you might at some point if you're just like, I'm just trying to do something and there's no like skill or anything around it, you could try and roll under your luck.
Yeah. Extraneous, by the way, sounds like a weird title for a stat. It basically describes anything that is not completely essential to a kobold's daily life.
Yeah.
So if it's not fighting something or cooking something or eating something, it you roll an extraneous for it.
Yeah. So it's like, what were you trying to do? I was trying to sing. Okay, well, that's extraneous. No one gives a shit.
Yeah, no one cares if you do. Although, ultimately, once you get past it, you see a tremendous number of skill breakdowns for each one of the stats, and extraneous feels a lot less extraneous and a lot more like it's just sort of the charisma slash intelligence chart.
Well, ego is your
Ego is intelligence, yeah. So extraneous gives you luck. Reflexes turns into sort of an armor ability. It's the number
dodge.
It's your dodge, and that is the base number of dice that other people have to roll when they're trying to punch you.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to punch you and you've got a dodge of two dice, then they roll two dice baseline against a difficulty of their own, whatever their stat they're using to hit you with. Usually brawn, unless they're throwing something at you, in which case it's reflexes.
So you get that. That's fairly simple.
Mm-hmm.
Although, honestly, the weird derived stats felt, I'm going to say, extraneous.
It does, yeah, because they're the same numbers. You just roll them past a chart. It's like if you gave the bonuses in Dungeons and Dragons special names. If you're like, I have an 18 strength, and my brawnliness is therefore a +4.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's not necessary. It's just an extra step. By the way, you may be wondering what the difference between hits and meat is, because your brawn derives both of them. One of them is just your brawn stat. The other one is your brawn handy chart result stat. Meat is the muscliness of a character, and it adds to their damage to when they hit things.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go. Just in case you were curious. And then luck, just like the extraneous stat, is just used for whatever.
Yeah.
If someone tries to talk you into something or tries to cast a spell at you or whatever, you might roll luck.
So it's got a skill system,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting. I actually kind of like the skills in this.
I thought it was fine. You get to choose five skills.
Six.
And then you get to choose five skills, and one of them is automatically assigned to you, and you can't do anything about it.
No, I mean, choose not to take it.
Oh, yeah, and then you're just fucked.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is you get six skills.
Yeah.
One is an every kobold skill, which is everyone should have this skill, and it's cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But you can decide not to take it, but it means you start the game with an extra death check mark,
mm-hmm.
and you get the disadvantage of smells like baby.
Which is a really bad one.
It just means anytime you take damage, the people around you are like, ooh, I should eat that guy.
So kobolds like the taste of kobolds, and we should probably, let's pause here before we get into the rest of the skills and discuss what a kobold is in this universe, because it'll help.
Okay, so in this universe, they have gone with the old dog creature version of a kobold?
It's the second edition era kobold, where it was a little furry guy, a little orange furry thing. In this case, they go heavily into dog and equally heavy kind of into Pathfinder goblin, where they're mostly mouth.
Yeah, mostly mouth with teeth.
Yeah. They are crazy little idiots who basically spend their whole life in service of King Torg, which I'm just waiting to see if John does it or if
no.
I can keep talking. Okay, you're not going to do it. Also in service of Vor, and they just want to, they're super in service of Vor, by the way. They draw lots of art of it. They try to read into every show they watch to determine if the person who wrote the show has a Vor fetish.
I get it.
Ha ha! Is joke. You like, take a joke.
And they are completely fearless because the only thing Vor hates more than kobolds is cowards.
Yes. So it's interesting because the book gives you a dodge stat and a dodge skill that goes with the dodge stat. And yet the book's like, kobolds don't know how to dodge. They have no idea what the concept is of not getting hit by something.
Well, yeah. There's a skill called cower. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, you are one of the few kobolds that has finally learned that you are mortal and can die.
Yeah.
And so you can actually try and cower away from things.
Plus, they like to wear armor and stuff like that, but their whole thing is like, oh no, kobolds literally do not have a concept of not getting hit with a weapon. Their full extent of training is to try and hit the other person first.
Yeah. It's the whole idea of a good, like, defense is a good offense,
mm-hmm.
is the only defense is offense, because they're like, oh, no, I'm just going to go at that guy, and the way I stop from getting hit is to take them out first.
So something else that's relevant to kobolds in this incarnation of the little creatures is that they are delicious.
Yes.
All kobolds are extraordinarily delicious. They taste like well-prepared chicken. You notice this immediately if you cut open a kobold, I guess because its blood is especially delicious. Well, much like John, whose blood is barbecue sauce.
Come on now, it's probably ketchup.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
not
true.
Spicy enough for barbecue sauce.
Yeah, you're more of like, I'm going to say your blood is basically hot dish.
you cut me and do I not bleed ragu?
It's just a melted cheese and cream of mushroom soup in there.
Bloop.
Ah, oh, my goo.
No.
Kobolds are delicious, and it's exacerbated. Whenever any kobold gets a wound, everyone nearby has to roll to restrain themselves or immediately try to eat that kobold.
Now, this does not apply to humans.
Mm-hmm.
So it is basically critters and other kobolds that are like, ooh, yeah, kobolds are delicious.
Yeah.
Humans do not think kobolds are delicious.
So this is probably, of all the fun jokes in this book, this is probably my least favorite. Because there's a ton of the books like merits and flaws system and minor aside jokes and skills and so on that basically point out that at any given moment, every kobold's going to try and eat every other kobold. And I'm like, that's going to bog down gameplay a lot.
I mean, not especially given that most of the time it's when you take a hit, you're rolling one die to get under your ego.
Yeah.
So usually it's fine unless you either have the disadvantage of smells like a baby
or the disadvantage
of hungry.
Yeah, in which case you constantly want to eat other kobolds.
Yeah.
But the problem is there's a lot of things in the game that hand out the disadvantage of smell like baby, including some results on the wound table, they call them bogeys, which is just sort of disadvantages that you're born with.
One of the death check results if you fail is not that you die, it's just now you smell like a baby.
Yeah. So it's a fun joke, but it pretty much, to me, it feels like it has the potential to bog down gameplay. Interpersonal conflict between the individual characters is the least interesting thing you could be doing. You could be running around in the town having fun adventures, or you could never leave the cave because you spent the whole time trying to eat each other.
Yeah, it is one of the more annoying things, because the idea of like kobolds running through a town trying to like steal chickens and babies and like picking up a baby and then having to put down a sword because you can only hold two things. They don't have a concept of holding more than two things.
Yeah.
Like the whole idea of having a dumb slapstick adventure, I'm like, oh, that's great. I do enjoy that. But the idea that at some point you would just all turn on each other and start having to do combat and not engage with the world at all is like, ah, come on.
It's kind of like whenever you hear horror stories about the DM who tries to run an evil campaign for the first time.
Oh, yeah. And everyone's like, oh, I try to steal all the stuff from this person. Ooh, I'm going to poison this person's food.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, when we're asleep, I'm going to set this guy's tent on fire.
And you're like, God, evil doesn't mean randomly malicious most of the time. You're never going to leave the first room you start the game in.
Come on, just think about, like, the fucking, like, Injustice gang or something. It's not like they're all trying to murder each other all the time.
Yeah, only Grodd and Luthor.
Hey, excuse me. That's not the Injustice gang. The Injustice gang is Ultraman, Superwoman.
Ah, yes, fair enough. I am thinking of the Legion of Doom.
Indeed.
Mm.
Thank you.
Featuring Starface Guy.
Starface Guy.
Yeah. No, the Injustice gang, they aren't constantly murdering each other. It's just Superman or Ultraman constantly murdering everyone else.
Yeah.
Anytime he gets mildly displeased with them.
Yeah, well, you know, he's Ultraman.
He's Ultraman. He's a real piece of shit.
He's basically Brightburn.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've the reviews I'm reading on that Brightburn movie are that it like has no message and it's basically just a gore thing.
Oh, yeah. It's basically just like, hey, did you want to see like young Superman murder people? Here you go.
Yeah.
Is there a reason for this?
It's fun. Just
thought it'd be cool.
Yeah. It's just one of those. I mean, I know it's James Gunn, right?
Yeah.
He's mostly behind it. I'm never a huge fan of those. Yeah, but what if it really happened, but they still had the superpowers type concepts? Where they're like, well, what if Superman was just too alien and he couldn't get his handle on things, and so he murdered everyone? I'm like, eh. It's the same when anyone's like, what if there was a Batman movie where the whole movie was about how he could be spending his money just fixing the city instead of punching individual crazy people? You're like, yeah, I know. Everyone knows that he's inefficiently spending his resources. Okay, you figured it out.
We all get it.
You sure did a great job spotting the irony, and yet you live in a society.
Interesting. I am very intelligent.
So yeah, the fact that, like, if someone gets injured and then some other kobold is like, ooh, I want to eat that one, and then it defends itself and injures the other kobold, now you have to have another roll because another kobold got injured, and it's just gonna spiral down into some dumb bullshit.
Yeah, when your kobold gets eaten, everyone pauses while you make a new one, and then he runs in there and he's like, wow, it smells like delicious kobolds in here, and oh great,
yeah,
good job everybody. So I mean, that is one of the few negative aspects to the way the rules are put together. Mostly this seems like a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, being able to be like, oh, I'm just gonna be like a barely intelligent little dog person running around and be like, I want a chicken! Chicken!
Yeah. Yeah, and then to get a chicken, you're so small that you have to, like, wrestle it.
You're like, yeah, come here, chicken!
Yeah. All right, so, like we were saying with skills, there are skills assigned to each one of the four stats.
You have to pick one from each stat.
Yeah, which is smart.
Yeah, they're like, look, kobolds aren't smart enough to try and focus on any one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just going to have a random smattering of skills, mm-hmm. even if you're bad at that stat.
Yeah. This does kick off something that you'll see throughout the book, which is the punish any player that gets too smart about things.
Which,
honestly, anything that starts with punish any player is bad. It's just flatly bad.
Yeah. And, you know, having an entire page dedicated to, oh, if someone doesn't want to go along with things and they start doing whatever, you should give them a death check.
Yeah, in this case, it's with the skills, it's like, hey, if anyone's trying to min-max their kobold skills to create a kobold of ultimate death, then you should give them a death check, and you should definitely drop them below a university and let them loose in the sewer or something. I don't know. And it's just, buy-in should be an assumed. The book shouldn't have to tell you how to force buy-in from your players.
Yeah, I mean, either the people sitting down are like, oh, we're playing Kobolds Ate My Baby, I'm on board,
mm-hmm.
or they are not.
Yeah, and in that case, the solution isn't to kind of punish them till they get it, but just to sort of tell them.
Like, hey, the whole point of this is whatever.
Yeah,
and if they aren't into it, then they don't need to play.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to force them to play by killing their characters over and over again.
Yeah, this will make them happy and into the fun of the game.
Yeah, so anyway, it's not like this is the first game we've come across that tries that stuff.
No.
It's
I just feel like they should know better in a game that's about being goofy fun to not be like, dude, punishing people is stupid.
Yeah, no one has goofity fun when they are being punished unless there's like a safe word and like rope cutting implements for safety purposes.
The one thing I will say that was sort of like adversarial as far as the mayor and the players, because the mayor is the name for the GM,
yes,
is the if you're a kobold or you
does
come
something
up with
yeah,
a
yeah.
plan that is too intricate and detailed that's bound to work, you have to roll under your ego on a couple of dice, or you just sort of sit there drooling and you're like, huh, what? Oh, I'm sorry, I was thinking about something.
Yeah. And it's completely up to the mayor's interpretation. If a character starts doing something clever and interesting and the mayor thinks it's too clever and interesting, they can be like, hey, roll on your ego.
Are you actually smart enough to do this?
You're too stupid to do this. Which is cute, but I feel like just shutting it down entirely is a little harsh.
Well, I mean,
it should go stupidly.
It's one of those things where if you look at the game and you're like, okay, one of my characters has decided to like, ooh, we're going to set a fire over here and it's going to distract the humans over there. Meanwhile, I'm going to come over here and open a pen that will do. And you're like, dude, you're a kobold. Your plan of attack is I'm going to go in that window and try and get that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully I do.
And if anyone stops me, teeth.
I will teeth them.
Yeah, I will teeth them a lesson.
Yeah, so that one at least, as far as the adversarial things go, I'm like, better than forcing someone to get closer to death, it's just like a quick reminder of, hey, you're an idiot kobold, please.
Yeah.
No, and you still have the chance of doing it. If you did have like, oh, my kobold's got an ego of 11. Yeah, he's smart enough to come up with a plan.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. So the skills are divided into two types of skills that you can choose from. Basic skills will give you just the ability to try things, still using the relevant stat as your determining factor, as the target difficulty.
Yeah, there's no like skill ranks or anything. It's just if you have a skill in, say, dungeon, then you can do things that adventurers do in dungeons,
mm-hmm.
and you just roll under your like
extraneous.
I think it's extraneous. Yeah,
yeah. So you would roll like, oh, I want to spike this door closed so that the humans over there can't get us.
I
want to
pick a lock or something.
Yeah, that's all just covered under dungeon. And then the other type of skill is dangerous skills.
Dangerous skills happen immediately without a roll, but there is always a drawback, usually an automatic death check that you add.
Yeah, in most cases, it just gives you a death check because you're doing something that's crazy, but they always work. You don't have to roll for them, so they're kind of fun little race to zero type things.
And it's at least each category has like one of those.
Ego has the most, yeah.
But it means that if you happen to roll like, oh, I got like a 2 in ego and I'm still forced to take a skill in there, you can at least take one of the auto success ones and go like, okay, I can do this. It's dangerous and might blow me up, but at least I know I can use it.
Well, probably the most, the one that has the most mechanics hidden behind it is Lackey, which is an ego one that basically says like, hey, at some point your character was an apprentice for an evil wizard.
Yeah, you get to cast spells.
Yeah, and so that gives you access to the spell system, but the only way to cast spells in this game is to take a death check.
Yes, you cast a spell and then automatically get a death check.
Yeah. So that's kind of a fun trick that if you want your kobold to be a spellcaster, it's in there, but it's hard. And the jokes behind it are pretty well done, too. It's cute. It's like, as an apprentice lackey, you had to learn how to research to be a spellcaster. As a kobold, you don't really know what research is. To you, it just means rooting around in their garbage for interesting pieces of paper.
Yeah. And the spell casting itself is part of the like game within the game where you have to be like, oh, if you're casting like Elmer's glue ball, then you have to do a somatic component, which is pretend like you're bowling.
Yes, exactly. It's one of the other aspects of the game, along with the All Hail King Torg thing, which is sort of a Simon Says gotcha element that happens in the player world.
Yeah, because if you don't do the somatic component, your spell doesn't go off.
Yes, and
but
some
you
of them
still get the death check.
And there's more to that as well. One of the common, there's these things called edges and bogeys.
Yeah, sure, merits and flaws.
And one of the two universal edges that every kobold has is bark like a kobold, which is you can pull a die off a difficulty of anything you want, provided you are willing in person to bark like a kobold until the mayor says you're doing it right.
And if anyone wants to do it after that, they have to do it louder and more energetic than whoever went before them. So it's basically like, you're going to want to play this like the penis game.
Yeah,
you're going to start out and just be like, bark.
Well, yeah, except that, of course, the mayor is encouraged to be like, that isn't especially energetic now, is it?
Penis.
If you're trying to bark at a very low energy rate.
Penis.
Yeah, John's playing the penis game.
Penis.
I'm going to let him win the penis.
Penis.
Okay, all right. This is all very fun.
Everyone's very excited that you're playing the penis game.
Are you going to back up from the microphone for the last one and just yell it as loud as you can from across the room?
You never know.
Ah, yeah. It would involve you getting up.
Penis!
And damn it. I thought he wouldn't do it, and he did. we're going to get emails about that. So, there's one thing I find it kind of cute is that each one of the four skills has, or each one of the four stats has exactly 6 skills. It doesn't say as much, but if you're in a hurry to make your new kobold because your last one just got eaten or whatever, you can roll your skills.
If you really want to, you can randomly determine your skills.
And I don't see any reason why you wouldn't. Also, I did like the one or skill in Brawn that was a dangerous skill, which is dueling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, hey, you can win fights if you want. It, like, as opposed to normally you just take the fight skill that's in there alongside Brawn. Or if you want, you can take dueling and you're like really good at fighting. But you're racing to zero.
Yeah, the game's got a lot of interesting things going for the skill system.
Mm-hmm.
The merits and flaws, or edges and bogeys, is at least interesting in that every kobold starts with the same couple merits and flaws.
Mm-hmm.
You get the whole kobold barking thing like we just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
but also all of them are like, I forget what the other bogey you'll all start with.
I think it's 2 positives and 2 negatives, if I remember correctly. You definitely do start with the one that everyone can bark if they want to, but also you get kobold senses, because kobolds are excellent chefs and have powerful senses of hearing and smell. So They can taste the smell of things. They are good at seeing in the dark and stuff like that. And then the two negatives are that they are fearless.
Yeah, you can't decide, oh, I'm going to run away, really.
Yeah, that's not a way that kobolds operate. And also that they taste like chicken.
Yeah.
Which is just that they're delicious and has that wound penalty thing.
Yeah. So for the actual merit and flaw system, there are just 6 merit, 6 flaws. You roll a d6 for each one and you get one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Each table has one of the results is you don't get this.
Yes.
So you might get no merit, you might get no flaw. But the other ones are just, you're going to get some small bonus and some small penalty.
Yeah. So, for example, the edge chart. Yeah, edges and bogeys. The edge chart can be things like your kobold is fat and therefore has some extra hit points.
Yeah.
Or there's troll blood where you have a little regeneration built into you. But the one that I found some issue with is because it's the first time in this book, which seems to really lean into this, mentions of the opposite sex when it isn't necessary.
Eh.
I mean, kobolds are clearly non-sexual fur smurfs that are just sort of, run around, eat chickens, eat babies. We don't need to know that human women find them adorable while human men find them winning and confident. And I'm like, I can't tell what gender these things are in the first place.
Well, it didn't say human women and men. That's for kobolds. Humans will just think you're adorable.
I wish that was true. Well, I guess maybe.
It is true, though.
It says,
if you keep reading.
Yeah. No, it starts. It says, your kobold has a wide, friendly smile that inspires both trust and camaraderie in men and causes most women to think you are very cute, or vice versa. As long as you are smiling, humans will not attack you.
Yeah.
This refers
to
humans.
It's two different things.
Oh, okay. It's two different things.
It's
fair enough.
Men and women kobolds, and then humans just won't attack you.
Okay. I read them as the same thing, and I was like, oh, come on. Do we really need to have a gender variance in how humans treat you? You're 2 feet tall, and you look like a dog.
No. The whole point is, like, oh, you're charming to other kobolds. And to humans, you basically just look like a dog, so they'll leave you alone. As long as the player is smiling, it is, again, one of those things where you have to do an action in order to get the benefit.
That's right, yeah. And then as for hindrances, you've got, angry friends is the one for if you roll nothing, because the other players are going to be pissed at you and probably try to backstab you for not having a hindrance like they do. Animal foe, which is everyone hates you. Foul smelling, which I don't like. Foul smelling was weird. It felt like it should be a edge. Because kobolds would benefit from being nasty. Because foul smelling is, you smell really bad, and everyone runs to come see what the smell is.
No, man, it's just, you can't hide, basically.
Yeah, it says each turn, it's right here. Anything in your map square will notice the scent and probably come looking for the pile of dung that left it. And I was like, why? If I smell something nasty in a dungeon, I'm like, oh, I gotta see this.
I gotta know.
Hey, come here, smell this. Smell what's in my gym bag, it's a kobold. But yeah, you can also get hungry, which is the worst one. Hungry is the one where you have to constantly try to eat your friends and anything else you can come across all the time forever.
Yep.
And taste like baby, which is kind of the counterpart to hungry, because it basically makes everyone else treat you as if they had the hungry stat. And if they do have the hungry stat,
they just automatically are always trying to eat you. It's like 5 dice to try and roll under.
Yes. So that's a problem. And then in heat, which at least if you're in heat, you will constantly try to hump anything and not just the...
It's another dog joke where you're like, you're going to try and hump people's legs.
Yeah, that's the one time they slide past without mentioning the opposite sex, which shows up twice more in this book. All right, so those are the bogeys and the hindrances. The last thing you need to create your character is roll 3 times on a gear chart.
Yes.
They mentioned that the way that kobolds work is they're always robbing stuff from everyone all the time. They're just scavenging garbage and finding things here and there.
They're mostly just trying to get food for King Torg.
All hail King Torg.
But whenever they bring something back that isn't food, they throw it into one of 3 piles.
Yeah, and the piles are basically armor, gear, and weapons.
So when you leave, you roll once on each, and you can... roll up that you don't get anything in any of the piles. Mm-hmm. Like, that's always an option. But usually it'll be you get armor that you wear, and then you can hold 2 items. So you'll have, like, a big pot that you wear on your head as your armor, and then you can have, like, a bone that you wield as a club, and then, I guess, a backpack, which is super useful because then you can hold more stuff if you have a backpack.
Yeah, the backpack is a little satchel, and it can hold a thing, and it doesn't count as a thing you're holding. And you can still hold two more things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a really good one if you get it. You can also get stuff like a little sack of spices.
Yeah, you can do cooking if you want with that.
A dead rat you're carrying around that you can swing at people as if it was a weapon. A lot of the items come with their own bogeys and or edges.
Yep.
For example, if you do have a pot on your head, that you can just use that to cook in at any time you happen to need a pot to cook in.
Yeah.
So it gives you plus cook. Or
same thing if you have a weapon that is a skillet.
Yeah. And plus cook means that it reduces the number of dice you need to succeed at a cooking roll later.
It just makes cooking easier.
Yeah, it's codified. It's one die better or one die worse based on if it's a minus or a plus. Like, for example, something that gives you a minus foul smelling is you're minus to hide.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other one up here, there's a few in here that don't do anything. Like, for example, minus bulky is just you only have one item now, and plus Fonzie is this doesn't do anything, but you feel really cool about it.
Yeah, that's if you get leather jacket for your armor.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much a kobold at that point. You're ready to run around and start murdering stuff and having fun.
Yeah. There is, like we said, the magic system.
Oh yeah.
One of the items you can get is just a page from a spell book,
mm-hmm.
and then instead of having the skill where you get to do it all the time, you cast the spell, and casting the spell is crumpling up the page and throwing it at someone, and it requires you to crumple up a piece of paper and throw it at someone as a player.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Crumpling up a piece of paper is not going to hurt anybody. I like that. And if it's an NPC, you always throw it at the mayor, because they represent all the NPCs. So that's not a big deal. And then there's a list of spells. There are enough that you roll a 2d6 chart to see which ones you get. They are 90% jokes. I'm sorry, they're 100% jokes.
Well, I mean, they're all jokes, but they all have stuff they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's...
Any spell that's just like, a fart happens and that's it.
Well, here's the thing. There is one spell in there. This is why my 90% was initially accurate. There's one spell in there that is you made up a spell that doesn't do anything and brag to your friends that you know a spell and you don't.
It is the spell of summoning a giant demon that thinks that kobolds are tasty, and you made it up because no one's going to ask you to cast it.
Mm-hmm. So there is one spell that you don't have a spell. Otherwise, all of them are just kind of cute little joke things you can do at the table. You can turn yourself invisible, but to do so, you have to cross your arms across your chest and hold them that way, and the moment you let them go, you're visible now.
Yeah, because it's a LARP joke about being a broody vampire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's called Hagen's Larpsification.
Yeah.
It even has a joke about the name in there.
Hey.
I'm surprised it's not called Reinhagen's Larpsification. But, all of them have jokes in that kind of fashion. You have Lord Elmer's Ball of Glue and Sander's Spell of Summoning Chicken. So,
yay.
If you liked references to things, this is where you go for them.
If you want a spell that is definitely a joke title, then here you go.
Here's one. Pimpy Slapping Hand.
Man, that is just... There's actually several references to pimps in this, which I find very weird.
Pimps are funny.
Pimps
are super funny.
Hey, you know what's funny is someone that abuses sex workers.
Yeah, no, pimps aren't actually funny in the slightest, and they're an outgrowth of the fact that sex work should just be legal.
Hey, everybody. Politics.
Hi, guys. Welcome to Politics Corner, Sex Work Edition. Sex work should be legal. All right, that's good.
Also, I think dogs should vote.
I think dogs should vote, and if they could, they'd say sex work should be legal.
I think little dog monsters should vote. Come on,
no,
kobolds.
I feel like kobolds shouldn't vote.
I think they should.
I think they would, but would. Or they should, but would not.
They should and could and will vote nader.
Yeah. So anyway, pimps are apparently quite funny. You know, like a pimp called Slickback, where you have to say the whole thing or whatever.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing. It's so funny.
Hey, man. Back in the day, although I'm sure it's probably still around, was the game Pimp the Backhanding.
Oh, yeah. No, that's still around. It's just one of the many, many vampire parodies where, ha, 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 it's funny because all the vampire novels are vampire books are five things that are all based around the theme of a thing. So this is five kinds of pimp you could play.
I mean, mostly it's based around Magic the Gathering, but Pimp the Backhanding.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had it mixed up with other things.
No.
Yeah.
I own it. I don't know where I got the copy from,
mm-hmm.
but somewhere sitting around somewhere in a box is a copy of that. And every time I look at it, I'm like, why does this exist?
Yeah. I mean, outside of movies and media, I've never actually seen one of those, like, platform shoe, giant feather hat, purple crushed velvet coat pimp guys.
Yeah.
I feel like most pimps are just mean dudes.
Just assholes.
Yeah, they're just mean guys. And that
this has been the pimp digression.
There you go. There's pimps. Sorry to bring everyone down about how, you know, sex work should be legal and everything.
Yeah.
Sorry. Whoops.
Oops.
Oopsie doodles.
Anyway.
So there's a bunch of spells. There's also, this brings up something we should probably mention. One of the spells is called Tabriz's Ball of Flaming Death, which is just a fireball. You just throw a fireball that does a D6 damage at anyone. It ignites combustibles. And, oh, by the way, pimpy slapping hand. Somatic component. Any guesses, John?
Is it slapping?
No, you have to ask the target who their daddy is.
Oh, yes, that's correct. I remember now.
You have to say, who's your daddy to them?
Or who's your mommy?
Or who's your mommy? Even better if you do it in one of those, like, voices from a movie.
Yeah.
The high-pitched one is a particular favorite of mine. From, I believe that's Master of Disguise.
Sure, why not?
Who's your daddy? That over and over again 1,000 times. Dana Carvey, $1 million.
$1 million, Dana Carvey. Thank you.
Thank you. Tabriz is the local titular archmage in this book.
He's an evil warlock, and evil warlocks are known for getting kobolds to come do their work for them.
Yes, and so he is basically someone the mayor can use to order the characters around. But also he shows up in the margins as a person who invents fireballs, leaves spells lying around.
Yeah, if you managed to get a, like, spell page, it's because you took it out of his trash can.
Yes. So he's just sort of an interesting force of nature that exists in the game to kind of explain away why kobolds have access to magic.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's the magic chart. I appreciate that the game plays so simply that the initiative order is literally start to the left of the mayor and then go clockwise until you get to the mayor.
Yeah.
And the mayor always goes last, and there's no rolling for initiative. But again, it's got one of those parts where it's like, if your players point out the dynamic initiative system or mention the upgrades to role-playing games in the past 30 years, make sure to give them a horrible kobold death check for their arrogance in bringing up silly questions or in this silly game they're playing.
Stop it.
Don't. Why? What are you doing? What are you talking about?
Who's doing this?
Imagine if you and I were playing this game, and I was like, John, write down a death check for asking about initiative systems.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, right. I actually don't have any power over you except to tell you to write down death checks, which you're just going to keep saying no to.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no.
So write down a death check and.
Yeah.
Penis!
You son of a bitch. I don't think that one was going to work. We'll see what happens on the mic later. I'll try and fix it up.
Yeah,
for
we'll
you.
See.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
I didn't want to yell directly into the mic.
The rest is just like the basics, a list of actions and how players use them. You know, just doing stuff, moving around. There's stealth in the game. There's invisibility in the game. There's being able to attack more than once or attack for extra damage. I feel like they might, even in a 46-page book, I feel like they overstuffed it a little with things you're going to forget about that are all kind of hidden back here. Notably, the house rules. There's a whole page of house rules, which, contrary to the name, are not actually house rules. That you have to do all these things.
Yeah, they're just rules.
They're just called house rules because they live outside of the rest of the rule system. So first one is the all hail rule, which is the King Torg, all hail King Torg thing.
Yeah, if anyone says, if not says hail, hail King Torg when Torg gets said, then you gotta take death check.
The kobold soliloquy rule, which is that when your character dies, you have to stand up in front of all the other players, put your hand over your heart, and announce the death of that character and their many accomplishments.
Because the thing we haven't mentioned yet is this game has victory points. Mm-hmm. At the end of it, someone will win.
That's right. This game actually is a competition.
And if you stand up and do your little kobold soliloquy and everyone thinks that, yeah, that was good, and your kobold led an interesting death, then you get to come back as a new kobold, but you keep your victory points.
But if everyone thinks you did a bad job, then they say no, and you have to go do something else instead. You can't play the game anymore.
Yeah. They're like, oh, well, I guess you just are dead now. You should go get some snacks.
Now, this is almost okay in this game because it's all one shots and it's only going to last like an hour before everyone's dead anyway.
But man, any game with death where you have to go do something else is stupid as fuck, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is the closest where I'm okay to it. Like, this game's practically just a half-assed board game.
Yeah, and any board game with player elimination is also bad.
Oh, yeah? Okay, that's fair. So that's the Cobalt Soliloquy rule. It's your chance to get the other players, I guess the ones who give a shit about winning, to be like, all right, I'll let you keep playing, as opposed to everyone just unanimously saying no, because if you can't come back, then you can't get victory points.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm so competitive, so no.
I mean, if you're competitive, what are you playing this for? But
well, if you're competitive, then I'm going to give you a death check.
That's right. It's not in a Cobalt way to be competitive.
Ugh.
There's also a big section on how to cook.
Great.
It feels overly complicated. Cobalt cooking does.
It mostly just boils down to you can get some hit points back if you eat.
Yeah. And then it's a bunch of stuff about how, like, you should suffer a penalty to your roll if you don't have a good cooking equipment set or something like that. And I'm like, it's kobolds. Who gives a fuck?
But cooking equipment is what gives you a bonus.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... Whatever, yeah. Fuck it, I don't care.
It's just in service of a joke. If it's a joke for it to be give them a penalty, and then in the next paragraph, it's a joke to give them a bonus, and even if those two things are contradictory, you just do it.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Most of the end of this book is just death tables.
Yes.
Because you've got different ways that either you will die from a death check. If you mishandle a baby, you have to roll to see if the baby dies.
Uh-huh.
So if you put a baby in a backpack, then it might die. If you are just mishandling a baby in some way, you have to roll to see if it dies. And a lot of the ways that it dies means that you don't even get to eat it afterwards.
Yeah. I'd say my least favorite of all the house rules here is the, what's it called? And me boss rule. Now, the and me boss rule says that if more than one kobold is involved in any single thing that produces victory points, the kobold that instigated the action decides how the victory points are spent.
Yeah.
Including just giving them all to himself. Which, again, if you're playing with a competitive group of people, means that no one will ever help anyone else do anything.
No.
You'll have no kobold teamwork because all the victory points will just go to the guy whose turn it currently is.
And the big issue with that is that turns your game into a game of Munchkin, which is terrible.
No.
Because at that point you go, all right, maybe I'll help you with that, but you have to give me 2 XP for it.
Yeah, exactly. It turns the game into a crab bucket.
Don't fucking make me have to bargain every time I'm playing this game.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to get that one out there. But yeah, there's a whole bunch of death charts, and you're right. A lot of the baby charts, like, oh, a giant eats your baby, so you can't eat the baby.
An evil wizard pops up and takes the baby away from you.
Yeah.
Your baby, you think it's too cute, you set it free, and then it gets run over by a wagon.
Yeah, and then a lot of the death check stuff isn't actually, like, when you're rolling horrible death checks, a lot of it actually isn't you die.
No.
It's
most of it is just like, oh, you managed to survive somehow. Oh, you get a weird penalty. You now have an odd bogey, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, like, oh, you smell like baby because your fur got all matted by the thing that was supposed to kill you. So you rub yourself with baby oil, which is made from baby. So now you smell like baby and all the kobolds want to eat you. Or you find a weed whacker and knock your own leg off with it.
Yeah, there's... Getting to the point where you actually die from a death check is difficult. Mostly, if you're going to die, it's probably because you lost all your hit points.
Yeah, because a lot of the center ones, because it's a 2d6 roll, so there's a bell curve to it. The center ones are things like, arrows fall out of the sky for no reason, and you take 2d6 wounds and damage. And most characters have 2d6 hit points, so it's an even number on whether it's going to kill you. But, like, for example, the most middle one, the 7... is falling cow. A cow falls in you and you are died and you die. And yeah. So, and all your stuff is gone too. So even if you die, no one can loot your stuff. So, it just goes on like that. There's a bunch of random, keep in mind, these are different from getting killed by combat.
Yes. These are the death check ones, which rather than just getting taken to 0 hit points.
Yeah, which is important because you don't want your character to be like, oh, he's losing a fight with a human in a town, and then he finds a weed whacker and cuts his own leg off.
There's another table in addition to the you death check and the baby death check.
It's the you die outside check.
Yeah, it is the dying out in, like, not indoors, which mostly just adds stuff to be like, oh, it's like an animal or whatever, rather than like, yeah, it's chopping just, your own leg off.
It's just an excuse for about 10 more jokes.
Yep.
Really is what it boils down to. And it starts with the seven in that one is you explode into chicken feed. So the most average thing to happen there is that you explode and summon a bunch of angry chickens, because chickens are one of the combat opponents in this game.
Yeah.
Because chickens are a credible threat to kobolds, I guess. So there you go. And then there's a little random generation for how to build your own town section in the very back. Oh, and something that we completely skipped over, which I feel like must be an addition to this book.
The deluxe version.
The thing that makes it deluxe, which is the costume kobold, the costumes for kobolds.
Yeah. So because it's a victory point thing, they put in ways to spend victory points if you want to.
Yeah, anytime the session ends and you don't actually end the game, or if you just go back to your cave.
So you can spend a couple of points and be like, oh, I want to get some armor or a weapon or whatever. You can spend it to just get some things from that. Or you can spend 12 and essentially gain a class.
Yeah.
And that's just an outfit you wear, and it's, oh, you get a bonus to whatever and these powers.
Yeah, like if you, for example, choose Kobold Veteran, which is the first one, and it's like you're a fighter, kind of. It's you get a better roll on the weapons table, and also you can always force any other kobold to give you their weapon.
Yeah.
Or they'll have to take a death check.
And all of them have a prerequisite that you had to have done during the session. So you had to have survived combat to be a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to be a chef, you had to have at least made a couple cook checks.
Yeah, if you want to be the wizard one, then you have to have the lackey skill.
Yeah,
I think the only one that you don't need any prerequisites for is the bootlicker, which is just that you
have to be a brown noser.
Yeah,
and that's it.
You'd think that would be you have to have that cower skill that exists, but actually the bootlicker just gives you the cower skill.
Yeah,
that's all it actually does. It just says you can use the cower skill whenever you want now.
And of course, there's a gamer costume you can put on, and it's you're fat virgin, and no one will have sex with you. You're the rules lawyer now.
Yeah, you're a fat, pale, pimply virgin, and the rules are you have to have read this book twice, at least. And then the description is, while you were playing this game, all of your real friends went out into the world and found people of the opposite sex to have sex with.
But not you, and now you have the power of enforcing the rules of this if anyone tries to do something.
Damn it, book, you're only 46 pages long, and you had to waste this much on gay erasure? You didn't have the room and the time.
Also, no one needs a virgin's joke.
No, both of these things are bad. They might just be of their time. It could be an old joke that's a holdover in there, where nowadays they wouldn't dare.
Don't think that's an old joke as far as this book is old. I think it's the people writing this are old gamers and don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, it's the old sensibility of the gamer, where the gamer is some sort of pimply nerd with a pocket protector, where nowadays a gamer is literally anyone.
Yeah, it does not matter. If Joe Manganiello can be a RPG gamer, then you can do whatever.
I think if we apply the rules of that to Joe Manganiello, all it really teaches us is that Joe Manganiello has no interest in the opposite sex.
Hell yeah.
Ha! Call me.
Call me.
So there you have it. That pretty much ends the book. There's a description of a town in the back, but just honestly just an excuse for some more shtick, which whatever. I was getting a little tired of the shtick by the time I hit the end of the book anyway.
Yeah, it's it is, as always, whenever we read a comedy RPG,
mm-hmm.
by the time you get like usually halfway through, given that this is only like 50 pages to the end of it, you're like, I don't care. I don't want to read your jokey tone anymore. Just stop, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you not like the jokey tone? You get a horrible death check.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hail King Torg.
That's also that last house rule of the, so I gave the bastard a death check rule, which is just, oh, feel free to give your players a death check for anything. Anytime they're a little bit disagreeable or try to argue with you about whatever, just give them a death check.
Yeah, if one of your players is like, hey, that was really stupid, give them a death check.
Yeah. If they're like, hey, the rules don't work that way, give them a death check. If they're like, hey, I don't like this game and I don't especially like you, give them a death check.
If they don't want a death check, give them a death check.
Yeah, which I know sounds like a joke, but realistically, like we were saying earlier, it's trying to use in-game tools to address out-of-game behavior, which never works.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Anyway, just wanted to point that out. Anyway, hi, John.
Hey, wait, that's kobolds, and they ate my baby.
Yep, sure, they sure did. They sure ate your baby, John.
My baby, John.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question, John. What was your favorite thing about this book?
I'm going to say it was actually the skill system. The fact that you have to get one from each stat, and that you have the choice of those auto work with a penalty versus just regular ones, it gives you this interesting breadth of things you can do. It means there's no point where you're going to be completely focused on any one thing. Like, if you roll the 12 for one of your stats, you aren't just like, oh, I'll take all six of the ones under that stat.
Yes. Yeah. You still have to, you have at most, what, two, maybe three stats in that skill.
Yeah. So
or skills in that stat.
Yeah. Stats in that skill. So I do like that. And I like the fact that the skills are a little broad. Like, dungeon as a skill is just like, what would an adventurer do in a dungeon? That's what this skill is. Who cares?
Yeah, or sage under ego is one I particularly liked. It's dangerous because kobolds aren't supposed to know shit, but if you take the sage, then anytime you take a death check, you just know whatever.
Well, yeah, you get to ask the mayor a yes or no question. They have to answer it, and then you have to come up with how your character knows that in character.
Yeah, it's cute. It's clever. Also, speak human is one I thought was particularly good. It's under extraneous, I think, and it's just you can speak human and write down six words because those are the words of human you know.
Yeah,
and those are the only ones you don't have to roll for.
And if a human speaks to you and doesn't just use those words, then for every like word that isn't one you know in the sentence, that's how many dice you have to roll under your stat to learn what it is.
Yeah, so it's a cute skill. I was a fan of that.
Yeah, so there you go. What would you say your favorite thing is?
I like the magic. I thought the magic was clever, cute. I like the whole crumpling up a piece of paper and throwing it at someone thing. And I thought that while some of the somatic component gags were a little dated, like the who's your daddy, obviously.
Yeah.
The idea of kind of a stand up at the table and call and response and let's get this game a little more active and involved. I like that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It just has to be timeless and not who's your daddy.
Yeah.
But all the,
I looked it up, by the way, and it's 2005 when this came out.
Okay.
Just so you know.
But that's, again, this is like the fourth edition of this game. It says second edition on there, but it's second edition deluxe or whatever. And there's a point at the back in the beginning of the book where they mention the three previous versions of this game you might own.
Yeah.
So anyway, I like the call and response, stand up, everyone get involved. Let's kind of turn this into an improv exercise party aspect of the game.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that, really.
No, I like that. It's like a fun party board game. The All Hail King Torg thing is just as fun. So I like that, and that's my favorite thing. And John, what would you say is your least favorite thing about this book?
Oh, least favorite thing about this book. I don't know, man. There's a few things that I'm not super good on. I mean, obviously the...
You want to win it?
The death check for anything is terrible.
Because I'm good to go.
That's fine.
All right.
If you want to say what your least favorite thing is...
It's the VP thing.
Yeah.
The victory points, where this game has a winner and a loser, is a problem because the game has a number of rules that determine how house points or victory points are accrued, and they tend to dominate gameplay decision making then. If you're like, okay, I need to get enough victory points to win this game or to get cool equipment, but doing that means I can't help anyone do anything because they'll just get the victory points.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to have fun and come back and keep playing the game, I have to say no because they might steal my victory points.
The victory point thing is goofy. The fact that the option to just not give points to people when they help you that exists is bad. Like we mentioned, it's just going to turn every action into a bargain where you have to be like, all right, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a VP if you help me out on this one. But, and you're like, I don't want to sit there and bog down this game. And that's going to bring me to my least favorite thing, which is the kobolds are delicious thing.
Yeah.
The bogging a game down that's supposed to be about goofy fun dog people having stupid failing adventures and then having most of it just be like, oh, you're gonna try and eat each other. I'm like, I don't care about that. It's just gonna make the game take longer and not be as fun, because all you're going to do is be like, oh, you got hit by a chicken. Okay, well, now I'm going to try and eat you, Jerry. And Jerry's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
And then he hits you, and then someone tries to eat him, and you're like, okay, great.
And that's just what every game's going to boil down to for the first, like, 20 minutes. It's the same thing with people playing Paranoia on Zapped mode. You have to really trust the people you're playing with and not just be like, I accuse you of treachery.
Hey, you're a commie, and I kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, my clone comes back, but they come back 50 feet away, and they sniper rifle you.
Yeah, and it's just that. It's just, okay, we all killed each other. Great. Can we actually play the game now?
Yes.
So that's, I think they're both legitimate complaints to make here.
Yeah, it's one of the things where if you were playing with a group and you trusted each other and weren't going to do dumb bullshit, I feel like you could get rid of a lot of the, like, stupid rules in here like those.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the book doesn't trust the players to do that.
Nope.
So
no. So that's a problem. I think part of us accusing the game of being kind of munchkin-y might stem from the fact that it's John Kovalik art.
Well, yes.
I mean, there's no getting around it. A lot of the characters from his Dork Tower comic and from Munchkin are show up in this book.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Boy, he sure can draw those same two kind of ugly bald dudes over and over again. So anyway, what would you say, or sorry, would you say you'd play this game?
You know, I would. You know, in a setting like if I were playing with, say, James as a one-shot with this.
Oh, sure.
That would be fine, because I know I would have people playing it that are going to be on board that want to do, like, goofy character work type things where you're all just running around as silly kobolds.
Yeah.
I mean, if you watched our Descent D&D live thing, you know that if we all decide to be gnomes and be silly about it, it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. We did that whole everyone's a gnome thing, and it turned out to be an absolutely great time.
And I think if you have a group of people that's on board to do the kind of shenanigans that this game wants to do, I think it'd be fine. So I would play this game with the people that are on board for it.
Sure, sure. I don't know that there's necessarily a game that I would play if I couldn't control my group. So I'm going to say yes for the same reason, but then again with a caveat that that's every game for me.
Well, I mean, there are games that I'm like, oh, I could play a game of that at, say, like a convention.
Mm.
And even if I'm not tightly controlling who's going to be there, I feel like I could be fine and play that game.
That's fair for you. You are very much more of a mellow dude than me.
It's very true.
I'm far too misanthropic to play with a random group of people. I will immediately categorize them into which way I hate them.
Yeah. Eventually, you're just going to get angry enough that you start actively trying to ruin everyone else's time.
I don't do that very often. Not very often.
No, you'll find what someone's dumb thing is and be like, I'm going to shit all over this.
Yeah, that I'll do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. That's my jam.
If someone's like, yeah, then my elf stands in a corner in a trench coat and smokes a cigarette.
They have it coming.
Then obviously you're going to fuck with them.
Yeah. I mean, that's strictly asking for it. It's the same thing with anyone whose whole way that they're going to play the game is to plan everything endlessly so that they don't have to roll any dice.
Yeah.
I am going to fuck with that person. Because that's not what the game is. The game isn't trying to avoid playing the game there's so many people out there, whenever I go to a convention, who are like, how do I play this game? Oh, well, here's how I do it. I try to invest, I assume about a half hour of yammering about bullshit is equivalent to not having to roll five dice.
I mean, it's especially bad when you're playing something like Shadowrun.
Oh, Shadowrun.
But then at least you're like, but it's kind of worth it to not engage with the system of Shadowrun.
That is true. Yeah. That's a catch-22 if I've ever heard one. So there you go. I think we'd both play this game.
Yeah.
John, you want to get into some housekeeping type details and get on out of here?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great. Well, then why don't the folks at home go on down to patreon.com/systemmastery and support us?
Do it. Support us at any level. And baby,
you got a stew going.
Gonna eat you.
Two different jokes. I'm sorry.
We're gonna make some characters in Kobolds Ate My Baby. We're gonna get some random little kobolds to run around
with.
Yeah,
we'll roll up some goofball kobolds, and we'll describe what they're like and tell you who they are, and then we'll kill them using that random death table at the back.
Yeah, you'll find out how they die, yeah, or
why,
don't.
Why not? We'll see what happens to them. But these two kobolds we're going to make are available at the bonus content level, which is only $1 per episode of System Mastery. Like $2 a month, and you can get these bonus content episodes where we discuss a little bit more about the rules of the game, and also make characters in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, that's patreon.com/systemmastery. There are $1, $2, and $5 levels, all of which unlock more content. There's more levels beyond that, but those are the ones that unlock more shows.
Hell yeah.
There you have it.
Brother.
Otherwise, once again, we are going to be at Gen Con this year, so if we're going to see you at Gen Con, please do us the favor of signing up for our two events.
Yep, you can go to the Gen Con website, just search for System Mastery in there, or go to like One Shot Events and look for us in the One Shot Events.
Yep, you'll find our two events. There were three, one of them didn't make it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to eventually, because there's a lot of people that said their stuff didn't get on the schedule.
We're not sure what's going on with that, but Gen Con is a maliciously huge dinosaur, so who knows?
It's maliciously huge.
It's malicious. It knows it's huge, and it leans
maliciously.
It leans into it. Just looms. So we have two events at Gen Con this year. We'd love to see you at them. One of them is a live show. We're happy to tell you what it is in advance in this rare situation. It'll be the D20 version of WWE's Know Your Role.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be all wrestly. And then also we're going to be running a big fat quiz style quiz with some of our podcaster friends as the contestants in a quiz to mastery event.
Yep. And the proceeds from that, everything is going to go to the Trans Lifeline.
Mm-hmm. There's been some hard stuff happening to our trans friends this year in the role-playing game community in particular, and it's just bullshit. So
yep. So we aren't exactly rich and able to do much, but this is a way we can at least do something to give back.
Plus, we can encourage other people to do the same.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Those are all good things to do. Otherwise, find us as System Mastery on Twitter, Gmail, Facebook, Reddit, or our Discord, which you can link to through our Twitter handle. It's the pinned tweet. Thank you so much for listening. And until such time as we see you again, have a good week.